Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Hello again, everybody. Now, three short takes on items in the news, followed by your calls on any of them. Is it torture to force feed a hunger striker to save his life? Who is Kristen Davis, and what does she have to do with Elliot Spitzer's run for controller? And why should we care that McDonald's is selling wraps? We'll do 5 minutes each on the topics, and then take your calls on any of them. Force feeding first. Now, this came up briefly on the show yesterday and was in dispute, so we're following up. My guest for this is Catherine Hawkins, a researcher at the Constitution Project. She wrote an op-ed in the LA Times called Force Feeding, Guantanamo's Shame. Catherine, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much.
And I'm sure many people listening have had relatives put on feeding tubes in the hospital, if not themselves. It's a difficult experience. There's a gag reflex. Tubes are forced painfully through their noses and down their throats to their stomachs. By all reports, it draws blood. Is this the same thing being done at Guantanamo Bay?
It's the same medical procedure, but it's being done without a patient's consent in Guantanamo. It's also done in a restraint chair that completely immobilizes a detainee.
So the American Medical Association wrote a letter to Congress that said, quote, every competent patient has the right to refuse medical intervention, including life-sustaining interventions. We urge you to ensure that this matter receives prompt and thorough attention and to address any situation in which a physician may be asked to violate the ethical standards of his or her profession. Does that mean that the AMA is taking the position that these detainees at Gitmo should passively be allowed to commit suicide?
Well, most hunger strikers are not suicidal and do not wish to die. The World Medical Association's Declaration of Malta does say that if a patient wants to risk death by continuing their hunger strike, they should be allowed to do so. But most of the patients on hunger strike are not suicidal. And, no one in the medical community wants the detainees to die.
In the AMA report, or I should say in response to the AMA report, a UN spokesperson also said that the force feeding takes place at Guantanamo is torture. But I also read that in 2006, the UN War Crimes Tribunal approved the use of force feeding for a prisoner. So do you understand the discrepancy?
Yeah, I'm not that familiar with the 2006 case, but here are a couple of differences. First of all, I think the use of restraint chairs is different. In general, if someone is so weak that their life is in imminent danger and can only be saved through force feeding, they're too weak to be a threat to their guards, and it's difficult to understand why they need to be in full restraints.
Well, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Two, in Guantanamo, it's not always clear that they wait until the detainees' lives are in serious danger before they begin force feeding. And three, I think the UN may be more sympathetic to the Guantanamo prisoners' hunger strike because it regards their indefinite detention as illegitimate.
The UN had said it was not, quote, torture, inhumane, or degrading treatment if there is a medical necessity to do so and if the manner in which the detainee is force-fed is not inhuman or degrading. So it sounds like a case-by-case situation. Do you think there is any kind of condition in which the guards at Guantanamo and the medical staff and et cetera would be right in force-feeding hunger-striking detainees to keep them alive?
There are situations where, say, a prisoner is acutely suicidal or is being coerced by other detainees, and is in that case, under the World Medical Association's Declaration of Malta, they wouldn't be regarded as a hunger striker. As it's done in Guantanamo, though, there's this one-size-fits-all protocol where doctors aren't really making an independent decision about when to feed people or how it's done. Instead, it's always in full restraints, and detainees have described it as painful and degrading. And a federal judge recently agreed with that, found that description convincing.
Is there a damned if you do, damned if you don't element to this, though? Like, if one of the detainees on a hunger strike was not force-fed and struck and struck and struck and struck against food and died, would you be writing an outraged op-ed saying they're letting prisoners die at Guantanamo Bay without medical intervention?
I think that, you know, what the solution is to make some attempt to meet the prisoners' demands when to the extent that the demands are legitimate. And you know, so some of the hunger strikers, some of the people approved for force feeding have been cleared for release by the administration. And there's just this political paralysis where no one's been released for several years. And the other issue is that the management of Guantanamo until very recently has really made no attempt to de-escalate the situation at all. The whole thing was set off by Koran search procedures. Even if you think it's the least bad option, because they are in a difficult situation, it's a bad option. It's horrible and brutal, and it underscores the need to start releasing people who have been cleared for release.
Catherine Hawkins, researcher at the Constitution Project, and wrote an op-ed in the LA Times recently titled Force Feeding, Guantanamo Shame. Thank you very much.
Thank you.